What's up, No Nation? This is Jesse from Plant the Spear. Glad to be back with you guys to talk about early signing day, which wrapped up. Yes, well, it's not officially done yet, but for the most part, Florida State's got all the pieces in place. So we're going to go ahead and talk about that class. We're going to talk about a few other things, from portal versus high school recruiting to just, you know, some of the drama around signing day, because, you know, signing day wouldn't be signing day. It wouldn't have the allure that it does without the drama. And of course, Florida State didn't go unscathed yesterday, but I feel like overall, when you look around the country, it really wasn't that bad for them. I mean, look at Florida. Goodness gracious. I'm surprised they even landed anybody after the way their signing day went. They lost a lot of top talent. So, you know, everybody had good and everybody had bad throughout the day. You know, Florida State, I think when you look at it overall, I think the thing here is Florida State had a pretty good signing day. It's just people get too focused on the names that aren't here and forget to look at the names that are. And I think the important part of that is when you stop worrying about who's not in this class and you start focusing on who is in this class, you're going to realize that this is a really good class. This is a 24 recruiting class that is loaded with talent. And so I'm excited to talk about it. I'm here by myself today, guys, flying solo in this one. Michael was tied up with something else, couldn't make it on the show today. So let's just jump right in. Let's start first with let's just talk about high school recruiting in general, the portal and all that stuff. And, you know, I think when you see a lot of what unfolded on signing day yesterday, and, you know, there's always a lot of drama on signing day. That it is what it is. That's part of what makes it so exciting and not exciting for some people. But I think the thing is, when you see so many flips like this, so many potential NIL steals or whatever you want to call it, you know, I don't want to speculate on why a player flipped or whatnot, because a lot of times we don't know. We just speculate why it happened. Like in the case of KJ Bolden, he says he didn't take, you know, a bigger offer, took less money from Georgia. I don't know that anybody in the world believes that. But I think what I'm getting at here is I could see in the future where maybe you can never not recruit high school kids. You just can't. You can't not place an emphasis on high school, or else you're going to get fired. I mean, if you have, you know, look at Colorado. They signed, what, 5 high school recruits? I mean, that's just not a formula for success. You can't completely ignore it. You'll get fired if you don't have high school recruiting success at the Power 5 level. So, but I do think it is possible to think that there may be a little bit, it may be de-emphasized a little bit in the future. And the reason I say that is, one, I mean, it's just less drama. And a lot of the stuff that influences kids from the high school is not stuff that kids from the portal talk about. I actually had a chance to talk to some transfers at ACC Media Days this past year. And I asked a lot of them guys, like, you know, what is it that you look for the second time around? And they told me that it's a different process. It's not the same as when you're in high school. You don't look for all the flash and stuff like that. It's more about who you're going to be working with, what they can do for you. It's more like a business transaction. And I don't mean like getting the biggest bag that you can business transaction. I mean, like, it's how can we help each other to reach our goals here? So, you know, and I think when you look at it, I have a couple of points on this that I want to share. So first off, I want to say that when you look at a portal versus a high school recruit, the portal kid, chances are you're getting someone who has at least had 1 year of development in a college strength and conditioning program. Chances are you can evaluate them based on college level film. Even if it's at the lower level of college, like a G5 or even FCS, you're still filtering out a lot of that bad high school competition. Because let's face it, why do you think there's a lot of misses on high school kids? Because you can't always evaluate them, you know, based on good competition, depending on where they play. I mean, if you watch some of the old film from Arch Manning's high school games, I mean, some of these kids were just, didn't look like they belonged on the same field. And now I think the camp circuit does filter a lot of that out, because you get to see good on good competition, but not, you know, not everybody participates in a lot of camps. So the point is, the portal, you get, there's less risk involved with the portal. I think it's, you've been developed a little bit. You can be evaluated a little bit better. And so this may be something that you see in the future, where people go, you know, they just, if you miss out on a top recruit, it's not such a huge deal now, because you can kind of cover your losses through the portal. And a good example of this that I want to mention here, that is really two good examples here, is when you look at KJ Bolden for Florida State, who flipped his commitment to Georgia. Of course, you wanted to land him. I mean, he's a 5-star, excellent guy, probably going to be playing on Saturdays, you know, starting for Georgia at some point, probably will play on Sundays. you always want to get the most talent you can in the boat. That's how you win. But I think when you look at the fit and the functionality, which is something that is big for the staff, finding guys that work in their system, finding guys that fit what they want to do. A really good example here is KJ Bolden versus Jamie Robinson, two safeties here. So you have one that was a five-star, one that was a three-star coming out of high school. KJ Bolden, you recruited for years. You put so much time, effort, financial resources into these visits and going to see him and doing all these things just for him to flip at the last minute, potentially over a money deal. And I'm not going to say that's what it's for, but you get the point. You spent years into this. And I will also say when you go after bigger fish, when you go big game hunting, this is going to happen. This is part of the process. Big time recruits flip all the time. It just happens. So I don't think you can fault Florida State for getting involved with the big game hunting, because if they didn't, then we'd be disappointed that they didn't go after the big targets. But when you look back to Jamie Robinson, three-star coming out of high school, he signed with Florida State 18 days after hitting the portal. So you spent really 2 weeks recruiting him and selling him on the process. Well, Jamie Robinson, you know, while KJ could be great, he could be the best safety to ever play college football. We don't know. Jamie Robinson, but that's the thing. You don't know. It's the unknown. We've seen five stars come and go and never make an impact. Now, we don't think that's going to be the case with him, but again, you get the point. Jamie Robinson came in, was a two-time All-ACC player, and led the team in tackles both seasons at Florida State. So he probably cost a lot less too, if we're being honest. So this is just kind of my case to where I think you could see some guys, some staffs, and college football as a whole lean a little bit more on the portal going forward, just because I think there's just so much less drama. And honestly, if I'm a coach and I know that I can go sign a guy who can be an impact guy like a Jamie Robinson in 18 days versus having to spend 3 years recruiting a guy who could flip at the last minute, I mean, if you're just talking quality of life, it just seems to make more sense. Now, again, you need to build your base out of high school, because a lot of these high school, you know, these really talented teams, when you talk about the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the Clemsons of the world, these programs, they don't go to the portal a lot. They build and they develop. And so that is something that you want to build your foundation, your base out of the high school recruiting ranks. But I think with the portal now, things are just a little bit different. You can kind of cover your losses there. You can find guys that are bridge guys. You can find multi-year guys for you as well in the portal. And I think the gamble with the portal is you just don't know who's going to be in there year in and year out. So you can't guarantee it. So you need to at least get in these battles. And that's something that what I touched on earlier. I don't think you can fault the staff for getting in on the battles, for trying for the KJ Boldens, for trying for the Jeremiah Smith, because you never know. You could also get them in the portal. You know, wink, wink, Marvin Jones Jr., a former five-star that went to Georgia and is now back on your roster where you kind of thought he would end up anyway. So you got to stay in these battles. And when you battle for the big guys, you're going to eventually lose some. And it's been unfortunate that it's now been three times. It's kind of turned into a pattern for Florida State to lose that top-ranked recruit right at the finish line. And, you know, they won some battles too. When you talk about Zaria Thomas, and they flipped Conrad Hussey, which was a big flip for them at safety. So I think they do win more than people think, but I do think at the end of the day, you have to get better at closing in recruiting and winning those battles last minute, because acquiring that top tier talent is going to be, that could be what puts you over the edge at some point. Now, I will say at the same time, when you look back at the guys that they missed on, I mean, of course, you had Travis Hunter and you had Keldrick Falco to Auburn. And it's funny because I think Mike Norvell threw a little bit of shade in his press conference yesterday when he said something along the lines of, I've told guys that where we're going, we're going to a special place. We're going to achieve success whether you're here or not. And he said, there are some guys that are other schools that are watching what we're doing right now. And I think that was kind of a little bit of a shot at some guys that flipped last second and then find themselves, you know, playing for a 4-8 Colorado team or a 6-6 Auburn team or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I just think people can't get too caught up on one guy per year or two guys. It's not like you lost four or five star guys like Florida did. So all in all, yeah, I think there were some disappointments there, but I think you got to get involved in these big-time recruits because you can't land them if you're not in there. And Florida State was in the final few for a couple of big names. They just, you know, unfortunately, they didn't land a few of the guys. And I think when you look at the portal, again, you just talk about there's no guarantee that it's going to be there. But over 3,000 players entered the portal in 2022, which was up 6.5% from 2021 and almost double that from 2018-19. Almost 2,000 kids entered the portal in the first 4 days this year. So there's really no shortage of players in the portal. There's 105 transfers currently in 247's database rated at 4 stars or better. There are 408 rated at 3 stars or better. And a lot of those guys are names I recognize from Power 5 starters. You know, Bo Collins, the MJ Morris kid from NC State. You know, you get a lot of these guys. KJ Jefferson from Arkansas. You know, that's a guy with proven Power 5 production that's only rated as a 3-star transfer. But you know what you're going to get when you get him. So I don't think the portal's going anywhere. I just think you might, you know, you still need to build out of high school, but I think you may see a little bit more emphasis on the portal. And I think you're going to see some names pop up in the next few days, weeks, even into that spring period for Florida State, where they're going to go after some guys. You just got to kind of wait for some more names to come in as well to find the right fit. But I also think that, you know, again, they were focused on keeping this high school class together. They were doing a lot of recruiting and things like that. So in this last week, that's really was their main focus. And I think they did a good job other than, you know, obviously they lost KJ, which, you know, kind of left like a punch in the gut again. It felt like we got punched again, which was kind of unfortunate. But then you also have, you know, you have Armando Blunt flip, which was probably the most foreseen flip coming in the history of all flips. I mean, the guy was previously committed to Miami, you know, everything that just went on with that recruitment, that was no surprise. I think everybody expected that before it even happened. I'm surprised it even took that long. Unfortunately, you didn't flip Jeremiah Smith. But again, man, that's a really talented player going to a good school in Ohio State that just, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, it's not a big sell. You know what I mean? It's not a hard sell to go there. And then you didn't get LJ McCray, which is a little bit disappointment. When they pushed his commitment back to Friday, I thought maybe you were going to be in there. But you know, at the end of the day, man, I think when you just stop worrying about who didn't end up in this class and you start looking at who is in this class is loaded with talent and they check the boxes. They got a lot of needs at a lot of positions. Of course, there's some areas that we're going to have tough conversations about going in the future. I mean, you talk about the defensive line recruiting, the linebacker position. These are two areas that have really, really struggled. And, you know, I'm not sitting here telling you we need to push Odell out the door. I know that's a really sensitive subject. But the recruiting has to get better, point blank, period. I mean, they are good at development. They have been good at getting guys out of the portal and turning them into impact guys. You know, and again, I don't care where the production comes from. As long as you can keep covering the losses on the recruiting trail with the portal and development, that's fine. But at some point, you're going to need to land this top talent, especially in the trenches, because that's where you see teams like the Alabamas and the Georgias and the Clemsons. That's where they win these games, even Michigan. It's the dominant guys in the trenches that they land year over year. And so it's going to have to be a conversation at some point, guys. I mean, I hate to say it, but you need some kind of those dog type recruiters on defense. And right now, other than Patrick Surtain, you just don't have it. And so, you know, again, I'm not saying we need to push those guys out because they're great at developing. I mean, JP does a great job with the defensive ends and Odell, there's not a better development coach in the country, but it's just that top level recruiting is going to have to get better. Period. I mean, if you want to get to where you want to be, if you want to compete for a national title, you know, year on end, you're going to have to get better at recruiting on the defensive side of the ball. So with that being said, let's go through a couple of things here. Let's get into this class in just a second. And before we do that, I just want to bring you a word from today's sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU. Guys, I know you want to load up, you know, they're loading on talent in this class. I know you guys want to load up on quality FSU gear, and you can do that at Alumni Hall right there in Tallahassee, 1817 Thomasville Road. If you're looking for a last-minute Christmas gift, swing by there, pick something up, tell them we sent you. Use code SPEAR, and you will get 10% off your entire order. Or you can hit them up online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the Florida State page. Use code SPEAR to save on your order. So thank you for supporting those that support us. Now, let's get into this class a little bit. Let's talk about Tribe 24, because honestly, guys, it sucks that you missed out on KJ. It would have been great if you could have flipped Smith or McCray. It, you know, Blunt would have been a nice addition to the class, but it is what it is, man. Those guys are out of the boat, and I prefer to spend my time talking about the guys that are actually in the boat. So that's what's most important. So let's talk about these guys as well. Now, let's talk about Florida State's class as a whole here. So when you look at some of the class details here, this is why I say I think this class is better than people give it credit for. People focus too much on the outside stuff, not who we actually got. So you do come in nationally ranked at 9th via the 247 composite. It's 11th in On3 ratings. And at the end of the day, I like the composite because it kind of grabs from a couple different services to kind of average things out. you still end up with a top 10 class. Now, I know that's disappointing when you look at the rankings aspect of things. Florida State started early signing day at third, had a potential to get the top class if they could have flipped a few guys and kept a few guys. You were the top class in the ACC. You slipped to second. This is still a really good class when you think about it, because here's a few things that I want to mention. One, people focus too much on class rankings because, okay, let's look at Miami's class, for instance, because they're trying to flex all over social media about how good this class is and what they got. And when you look at their class, they have more recruits than Florida State. I think they have seven more recruits or something like that, five more recruits than Florida State does. They signed a lot of three stars, which pumps up the amount of recruits they got, which moves you up in the rankings. Florida State didn't necessarily take that route, because when you look at this class, they have, including the Marvin Jones Jr. transfer, you have 16 blue chips signed in 2024. That is top 10 in the country and the most in the state, ahead of Miami and ahead of Florida. Ahead of Miami, who ranks above you in the recruiting class rankings, you have a higher recruit average rating than Miami has. So again, it becomes a quality over quantity. If Florida State wanted to add three or four more five-star guys and bump their ratings up, I'm sure they could have done that, but that's not the direction that they wanted to go. So again, just keep that in mind. And also keep in mind, like I said, with the quality stuff, think about some of these star rankings too. At the end of the day, Jared Verse, I think, had 0 to 1 star coming out of high school. Jordan Travis was a 3-star, you know, coming out of high school and was just finished 5th place in the Heisman voting despite, you know, having a season-ending injury 2 games before the end of the season. So star ratings don't always mean everything. When everybody talks about, well, you didn't land any 5 stars and all this stuff. Now, I will admit you maybe would have expected a little bit more coming off the back of a 13-0 season, but I do think that the CFP snub did hurt you just a little bit. I think that did, and I also think Florida State's not going to get in the business of overpaying for high school recruits. And I know a lot of people get really kind of touchy on that when, you know, people are bashing the battles in and saying that they were going to cancel their membership and all this stuff. And that's not the way to go, guys. That's not going to help get things better. I mean, they could, you know, this staff knows what they want. They know what they need. They may not be telling the battles in, we have to go pay gobs of money for this recruit. We'd rather go spend it in the portal. We don't know that. Just let them, they've given us enough proof of concept that we should trust them on this. So, you know, I get it. It's frustrating at times when you go 13-0 and you win your conference and then you don't finish with a top 5 class or something. I get it. I get the frustration, but you know, back to this class, you still have to be happy with what you got. You got 23 total commitments so far. Plus, obviously we know they're not done in the portal with only one player portal signed so far. Your average rating with Marvin Jones Jr. added in is 91.16. You got 16 blue chips. And this is the important number right here. Your blue chip ratio, 69.6%. We've talked about this before in the past with the blue chip ratio. It's shown that over the last 10 years or so, I think it's dating back to around 2013, 2012, that no team has been able to win a national championship without having an over 50% blue chip ratio. Now, Florida State's not over 50%. They weren't last year, and that doesn't always mean anything because they beat LSU, Clemson, Florida, and Miami, who all had a higher blue chip ratio than they did this season. And, you know, look at how a lot of their seasons turned out as well. So you can win without that 50%, but no one has yet to win the national title. So the point I'm trying to make here is that I think the thing to focus on is you have a staff that went out and went 13-0, won the ACC, won 19 games straight, beat LSU, beat Clemson, beat Miami, beat Florida, who all technically have more talented rosters than you do. And you did that with a sub 50% blue chip ratio. So now when you continue to elevate that talent floor and you add some of those big pieces, I mean, again, this is, you're talking about almost 70% blue chip ratio, and we'll see who's left in the portal. But that is where this roster is continuously getting better to compete on a national level. Like, sure, you have a roster right now that can compete, you know, at the mid to high level in the ACC, but you're trying to compete on a national level. And who knows, we may not even be in the ACC anymore by the time you're watching this. There's a Board of Trustees meeting scheduled for 10 o'clock tomorrow morning about getting out of the ACC. So we'll see where that leads. But you want to get to competing in that national level. And this is the type of class that you have to land to do that. Now, again, you need some more guys in some certain positions, linebacker and defensive line, but you feel really good about the guys you got, and bringing up that blue chip ratio is the way to eventually get there. You may need 2 or 3 more classes to roster churn and get to that point, but you're working there, and you have a staff that has shown that they can win with a less talented roster than some of the teams that they go up against. So imagine what's going to happen whenever they do have a, you know, 60, 70% blue chip ratio or something like that. You know, I mean, obviously not every guy is going to be a blue chip guy. You have to take some guys for depth. That's just part of the process, but you know, they landed some pretty good guys in this class, and that's who I want to talk about now. So this is a look at the overall class. We're going to go through everyone individually, so we won't spend a whole lot of time here. But like I said, you are obviously talking about, you know, signing a class that is full of good pieces here. And I think something to keep in mind here as well is all but one of the guys that you signed yesterday are early enrollees. So they are going to be able to get on campus and get up to speed quick. And, you know, Florida State may end up in a position where I think they still need to take quite a pieces from the portal, but they may be playing some young guys next year. It just may be a little bit of a youth movement, and at some point you're going to have to just rely on these guys. So getting them in the boat sooner than later is going to help getting that development track going. So let's go through the class here, spend a few minutes on each recruit. I kind of went through and did some reading on some scouting reports for each of these guys. So let's go through, starting with QB1 of the class, Luke Cromanhawk. And this is the kid that I'm very much excited about. Early enrollee, like we mentioned, 6'4", 195 pounds. You may not see the height and weight add up on some of these. I went and found some updated stuff after I put the graphics out. So 40th overall nationally, fourth at the position, out of Savannah, Georgia. Now, he had a lot of big Power 5 offers. You know, and this was a kid that didn't even start whenever Norvell got on him. Unranked recruit, they went in. And the funny thing is, when you look at Cromanhawk, back in his sophomore and freshman years, he actually played defense. He played different positions all over the field because he was backing up a future Auburn commit at the time. So he is one of the kind of rare quarterbacks in the 24 class that didn't start until his junior year. Now, when you look at his 2023 stats, the numbers are impressive. 62.9% completion percentage, 2,578 yards, 24 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. Also is a mobile guy, 558 yards, 7 touchdowns on the ground. And the thing with Cromanhawk, he is the highest rated quarterback since Jameis Winston to sign with FSU. So I'm telling you guys, I feel really bullish on Cromanhawk. I think this guy is going to be the future at the position. Really high upside guy with all the tools that you want. Has good size, 6'4", 190. Of course, he'll add weight when he gets into the college strength and conditioning program. But I think the big thing you're looking at here with Cromanhawk, strong arm, quick release, a lot of velocity on his throws. He can throw a dart from 50 to 60 yards in the air. One of the strongest arms in the 2024 class, which he proved that at the Elite 11 camp. And again, like we mentioned, he's a guy that has a mobile aspect as well. He can, you know, he can get to the corner and get some chunk yards on you. When protection breaks down, he can avoid some pressure there. And I think that just when you look at the way he has played all over the field, offense, defense, all these different positions, I think this is just a football guy. And so I think he's one that you really like there. Now, do keep in mind that because he only started his junior and senior year, probably has a little development to go. But that's why we talk about Florida State bringing in a transfer quarterback. That's why I'm okay with bringing in a DJU, a one-year bridge guy, to get him and Brock Glenn an extra year of development. You know, maybe if you get Cam Warden, you get a year or two out of him, we'll see. But either way, I think that you have the future of the quarterback position on your roster, and Luke Cromanhawk is going to be a guy. He just might need a little bit more development because he's still kind of learning the position, you know. But this is a guy, again, has a really strong arm. And if you watch the tape, man, I mean, he can absolutely sling it. So I'm excited about Luke Cromanhawk. Again, man, anytime you bring in a guy who I know he's technically rated as a 4-star, I don't know what happened at one point. On3 had him as a 5-star. Maybe, you know, just being a Florida State commit, you know, you get that bump down a little bit. At least that's what it seems like anyway. But this is a guy that is one of the top quarterback signings in this class. And so he's going to be, and he's been committed for a long time too. And I think that's important as well. A lot of that just goes back to the relationship that Florida State has built with him. So I love Luke Cromanhawk in his class. I think you picked up a really huge commitment there to getting your quarterback one of the future. Now, obviously, the next big name that you were fortunate to land that a lot of people were a little bit nervous about, there was some, maybe a little bit of games being played. There was the tweet, a little bit of trolling, I think. There was a tweet that he was going to delay until Friday, and then like 5 minutes later, he actually committed. Florida State put the graphic out, and I posted about it. People were telling me to, you know, don't jump the gun and screenshot in the tweet. And I'm like, nah, man, the school put it out. So, and I promise you guys, whenever I put anything out, like for signing day, I check the official feed, I refresh it twice, and then I make sure that it's there again, just so I don't jump the gun on anything. But again, Charles Lester, a really high level talented player coming in here at the cornerback position, early enrollee, 6'1", 171 pounds, 39th nationally rated player, third at the position out of Venice, Florida. Pretty much had, I mean, Power 5 offers out the, you know, at every school you can imagine. A great length, almost 6'2", very fluid player, great ball skills here, doubles as a wide receiver, sometimes even played Wildcat quarterback in high school. High upside player who's shown his ability against good competition in camps as well. I think that's really important. You know, again, we talk about the level of competition in high school. And when you get to these camp settings, you're able to kind of work against other Power 5 committed players, so you get to display your talents there, and he's been really good in camps. Physical player who's not afraid to tackle and can close quickly in coverage. Per 247 and on three, he does lack verified top-end speed, and he could probably add a little bit more weight once you get into college at only 170 pounds. But at the end of the day, guys, you got a really high-level two-way player here who is probably going to be able to contribute early on. Now, you still like a lot of the guys that you have in your secondary room between Azaria and Greedy Vance and, you know, a lot of these guys, and Fentrell Cypress appears to be coming back. You have a lot of these guys that, you know, maybe it's hard for him to get on the field early, but I think this is a guy who's going to play his way onto the field, kind of like an Azaria Thomas did, where he's so good you can't keep him off the field. But with a little development, I mean, this is going to be one of the higher upside guys in your class. This guy's going to be playing on Sundays more than likely. So next up is Landon Thomas. This is a huge get at the tight end position, and we know Mike Norvell likes to use tight ends in this offense. We saw what they were to do, different packages with Jaheim Bell, and of course you also had Kyle Morlock there as well, kind of used a little bit differently. Now, you did have Markeeston Douglas transfer out this year. You also had Preston Daniel, a walk-on tight end, transfer out this year. So I think it was good to kind of reload the roster with a talented guy who can probably come in and contribute really early on for you when you consider that he is an early enrollee as well. Four-star player, 6'4", 238 pounds, 64th ranked nationally, 5th ranked at the position. And these, again, are the 247 composite rankings out of Moultrie, Georgia. He was previously committed to UGA, so that should tell you right there the caliber of player that he is. In 2022, his junior season, through 14 games, he had 44 receptions, 753 yards, 8 touchdowns, also 5 rushing touchdowns. So this is a dynamic player. He can work inside. He can work outside. He's lined up in the slot. He's lined up on the line of scrimmage in high school. He can put his hand in the dirt, or he can line up out wide. So this is a guy that can play kind of all over that kind of hybrid tight end role that we've seen come about lately. And he's an excellent receiving tight end, great route runner, great pass catcher, can go up and win those 50-50 balls. Now, he's not the largest frame for a Power 5 tight end at only 6'4", and he could probably add a little bit more mass just to help with his blocking, but he's not afraid to put his hand in the dirt. He's not afraid to move some defensive linemen around, and he does project to have an NFL upside. Now, again, guys, I'm going off mostly what I read through the scouting reports and what I watched through the huddle tapes that you find online. Some of these are new, some of these are a little bit old, so you kind of got to go off what they offer here. But I think Landon Thomas is going to be a huge addition for this class. You know, this is going to be a guy that can be a real difference maker for you, and probably early on when you look at just some of the depth that they've lost at that position. I think that he's going to be able to contribute very early enrollee, get in, get developed, and get on the field. So this is a big pickup for Tribe 24 as well. Now, one of the guys I'm most excited about in this class is Cam Davis, 4-star running back, also an early enrollee, 5'10", 210, 69th rated nationally, 3rd at the position out of Albany, Georgia. I mean, he had basically an offer from every Power 5 school you can think of. 2023 stats. Now, here's the thing to keep in mind with Cam Davis. He did play quarterback for his high school, but obviously at 5'10", he's going to project more as a running back. 2,736 passing yards and 20 passing touchdowns. So this may, hey, you never know. We run a trick play. I think Cam Davis is going to be the guy to go to here. You know, let me get some halfback pass going with Cam Davis in there. But he had 1,115 rushing yards with 13 touchdowns as well. Man, this is just that bowling ball type of back. Thick, muscular build on a smaller frame, 5'10", 210 pounds. But that build and that strength that he has, you know, it's just a real muscular guy, also make him really hard to bring down. He's a physical runner who will truck you if you get in his way, and he can easily bust through any arm tackle. So I really like his running style. He can also make you miss in a phone booth with his ability to cut and change directions. He has good balance and good feet. So I think when you look at some of the things that people said was he could use a little bit of development on just the intricacies of playing the running back position. And he also doesn't necessarily have breakaway speed, but at the same time, this is also a guy who, they say to think of this is more of like a doubles and triples type of guy than necessarily your big home run hitter. But you also bring in a good change of pace back, Mekhi Danzy, in this class that I like to be a good 1-2 punch with these guys. And we'll talk about Danzy in a second. But Cam Davis is one of the guys I'm really excited about in this class. I think he is one of the highest upside guys here. You know, you hear the comparison. I mean, he wears number 4 for a reason. You hear some of the comparisons in his pictures anyway on visits. This guy could be like, you know, a lot of people compare him to Dalvin Cook, maybe some Devontae Freeman. I think I really kind of like those two comparisons, the guys who are kind of just that built package that can make you miss and also run you over. So, you know, maybe not the top end speed that Dalvin had when he got into open field. But again, man, this guy is going to be really, really good. The future of the running back position between him and Sam Singleton, you know, these guys are good. And I know the Battles End just put out that they were able to get Toa Philly basically locked in for 2024. So you have your lead back there. Then you have Keziah Holmes. But with Trey Benson gone and Rodney Hill in the portal, I think Cam Davis is going to play. I think he's going to play as a freshman in some of these games. This is a guy who can contribute early on for you. And also keep in mind, he's a really, really good baseball player as well. And that was part of his recruitment, was being able to play for FSU baseball. So hopefully he can help out the baseball team some there as well. So Cam Davis is a guy I'm really excited about in this class. Up next is Kai Bates, defensive back coming out of Orlando, Florida. 6'1", 180 pounds, 86 nationally, 8th at his position. He had a lot of Power 5 offers. Now, the thing about Bates is he converted from wide receiver to cornerback late in his junior season, and it was like a natural fit. He just took to the position. So he has a lot of upside, length, good ball skills, fluidity. He's able to read and react coming from the receiver position. You know, you just know how to react to the ball. You know how to read the receivers. You know how they break in their routes. You know, they usually say DBs are like receivers that can't catch. Well, this is kind of the opposite of that. This is like a DB who can catch and just is a little bit better as a DB. So that also means that he needs a little bit of development because he has not played the cornerback position very much. But you also have Surtain, who we feel is very good at developing these players, able to come in and work with him. And the one big knock that most people said was he needs a little bit of improvement in his run defense and tackling, but he could be a multi-year starter with the right development. So I think Kai Bates is one of those guys that you bring him in now, you need a little bit of development, but like we said, you don't really need to bring in, you don't really need to push any guys onto the field at the DB position. If anything, it would probably be Lester. And, you know, you also got some other guys that we're about to talk about in just a second, but this is a guy that with some development can be a very high-end player for you. So the next player we're going to talk about is another one of these talented defensive backs that you brought in, Jamari Howard out of Miami, Florida. 6'2", 175, 110th nationally, 11th overall at the position. Had a lot of Power 5 offers as well. This was a guy that I feel like was probably one of the steals of the class here. I mean, from what everybody says, this guy was an absolute shutdown corner in high school. His sophomore and junior seasons, he had 3 interceptions and 59 PBUs. Now, I don't know how accurate that is with high school stats, but I mean, this guy was just like, he was on an island over there. So he was really, really good in high school. Great measurables, 6'2" with a 6'8" wingspan. So he can go up and take the ball from receivers. He's also got speed and was a track guy in high school as well. Not afraid to be physical. Also a talented returner in high school. So he could be a kind of a dual purpose guy there as well. Has a really high upside with a little bit of further development as far as his technique goes. Add a little bit of weight to that frame, you know, just being 175 pounds. But overall, man, this guy is going to be, I mean, this is still, keep in mind, even without KJ Bolden, this is one of the best DB classes in the country. And Jamari Howard's a big part of that. I think, again, this is one of the steals of the class. And this is a guy that is going to be a multi-year starter for you. He's extremely talented. And I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. Now, getting to the trenches a little bit here, Jonathan Daniels, offensive line, again, early enrollee, 6'4", 285 pounds, 117th nationally, 4th as an interior offensive line out of Pensacola, Florida. Held a bunch of Power 5 offers, including Georgia, Kentucky, and Auburn. Daniels has a lot of great tools to work with. Big frame, 6'4", long arms, 11-inch hands, so just a massive human in general. He's a very quick and athletic player who plays with a low pad level, climbs to the second level well. He played both ways early in high school before really focusing on the tackle position, played right tackle primarily later in his career. He projects more as a guard or a swing tackle, could use a little bit of development in his technique and add some mass at only 285 pounds, but he is an older guy at 19 years old. But again, this is another guy where you're kind of restocking those trenches there with a four-star high upside guy. Give him a couple years with Storms, a couple years with Atkins, and you're going to have somebody here. And, you know, you have a lot of young, talented offensive linemen on this roster now, so he's going to pair well with what you've already got going here. Now, when you talk about the next guy here, Elijah Moore, this is something that obviously a lot of people are excited about. Four-star wide receiver, early enrollee out of Maryland, 6'4.5", 200 pounds, 165th nationally, 28th at the position. You know, the thing I like about him, this is one of those big body, big frame, go up and get it type receivers, has 10.5-inch hands, long arms. Combine that with that frame and a great leaping ability, and you have a guy that can go win 50-50 balls consistently. He's able to work deep routes and box out smaller DBs. Good catch radius, legit red zone threat. Now, he's not a burner speed-wise, and he doesn't have the most production because he played in a run-first offense in high school. But this is a guy that could turn into maybe that Kelvin Benjamin type of receiver for you. Just that really big body, he's able to work the deep routes, able to do a lot of work in the red zone, able to just kind of body guys around, you know, just use his size and his ability and go up and get it. So I think that's also important too, because you bring a couple of variables into this offensive class that you brought in. When you look at some of the other wide receivers, this is your big guy. This is your big, deep threat that you bring in at wide receiver. So, I mean, again, not only is he a talented receiver, but you can't coach size, and he has it. So he brings that in as well. So I think this is going to be a guy that we're all going to love to see in Garnet and Gold, just specifically from the tools that he has to work with. So it's going to be huge and just a real talent that I'm excited to see in this offense. Now, the next guy we're going to talk about is another receiver here in LaWayne McCoy, early enrollee as well, 4-star, 6-foot, 170 pounds out of Miami, Florida, 194th nationally, 8th at the position. This is a very highly talented two-way player in high school. He could have played at the Power 5 level as a wide receiver or a defensive back. Projects more of a wide receiver at FSU. Played in a good high school division as well. Has good speed and instincts. One of the better all-around talents to come out of Miami in the 2024 cycle is what 247 was saying as well. So, you know, again, you get kind of that mixture here. You get a guy who's 6 foot, you know, 170 pounds. You get your 6'5" guy here with Elijah Moore. So you kind of got a mixture here. You got a lot of offensive weapons that you brought in here. And I'm a big fan of LaWayne McCoy here. I think this was a little bit of a steal for you as well out of the Miami area, out of that South Florida area. So it was nice to see you be able to land him as well. So next, let's talk about the change of pace back that we mentioned earlier to go along with Cam Davis, Mekhi Danzy. Now, this is a kid that I'm a big fan of, and I know I've said that about a lot of the recruits, but again, guys, there's so many reasons to be excited about this class. You know, everyone wants to talk about who's not here. I love talking about the guys that are here because I think we got some real good ones too. 6 foot, 175 pounds, 216th nationally, 10th as an athlete at his position, out of Tallahassee, Florida, hometown kid. That's what I like as well. Held offers from UGA, Florida, and Miami. This is a speedy back that can catch the corner and be gone on you. He's a home run threat anytime he gets the ball. Kind of like a Toa Philly in a way, you know, kind of that more gadgety, not a real big back, but a guy who can break one. He's a patient runner who's really good with waiting for the blocks to get set up. Again, like I said, this could be like a Toa Philly type of situation. Almost like if you think about Cam Davis and then you think about Mekhi Danzy, this is kind of like a Trey Benson, Toa Philly type reload here. And I like it because both of these guys are really talented, has nice production in high school against good high school competition. Again, he has the skills to play DB too. He also had Power 5 offers for track. So I love track guys because you know they can run. You know they have speed. And again, like we mentioned, a good change of pace back with Cam Davis there. So I think that's going to be a really good 1-2 punch going forward. Now, let's talk about a little bit of defense here. Defensive lineman D.D. Holmes out of the D.C. area, 6'6", 250 pounds, 324 national rank, 39th at the position. He had offers from Michigan, Texas, and UF. So definitely, you know, I know some places had him ranked as a three-star, I believe, but this guy was, you know, there was a lot of schools that were in on him. A good size and frame, good instincts and pursuit is what stood out to me on film. And I will say the farther down we get on this list, the less scouting report there was, the more you just had to dig into the huddle tapes. He did play stand-up DN. He also put his hand in the dirt. Wasn't the most fast or explosive guy off the edge. But again, I mean, you're 6 foot six, so you're not going to look fast on tape. But this is a guy where you give him a little bit of development. You give him a little bit of time with Storms as well. And because, I mean, he stood out on the field. He stood out on tape as one of the biggest players on the field. So again, you can't coach size. And so this is a guy, again, that with some development could be, you know, I mean, 6 foot six, 250 pounds. That's a good size. So I think the next one here, let's talk about Itiati Manasi. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. I'm probably not, but this is an offensive lineman that you bring in from the West Coast, Modesto, California, 4-star, 6'5", 290, 359th nationally, 29th at the offensive tackle position. Had offers from a lot of the West Coast schools here, USC, Arizona, Arizona State. Lots of physical tools to work with. That's the upside of Itiati here. Strong, athletic guy, plays with an edge, has the measurables you want. He's going to need some technical development. That's what the big thing everybody was saying. Played both ways in high school. Also a basketball player as well. So kind of one of those good clay type of players for Atkins to work with. But again, 6'5", 290, and kind of has that little bit of a violent streak as well. So this is a guy that I like on the offensive line. You got to trust Atkins, you know, with his recruiting and development skills. I mean, he's not giving us a reason not to. I know the offensive line didn't have the greatest year this year, but at the same time, they dealt with a lot of injuries, and you're still upping that talent floor like we talked about with the other positions. So continuing on down the line, Florida State adds 4-star wide receiver B.J. Gibson out of Rochelle, Georgia, 6 foot, 188 pounds, 395th nationally, 18th at the position, held offers from Stanford, UGA, and Florida. Two-sport athlete, was committed to Tennessee to play baseball at one point before backing off of that commitment and focusing on football. This is a kid that's able to work in space and make people miss. And when you watch the huddle tapes, he was also able to take the top off the defense on multiple occasions. Now, I will be honest, some of the competition on some of these high school tapes didn't look the greatest. But again, this is a guy who was a difference maker and stood out on tape. So I think he's going to definitely be a great addition to this class at the receiver position as well. And next up, I want to talk about one of the guys that I think is going to be the steal of this class. This is one of my favorite players in this class that I think is going to be a really high upside guy, and that is Ricky Knight III. 6'1", 170-pound, 4-star defensive back, early enrollee, 425th nationally, 22nd listed as an athlete at his position out of West Palm Beach, Florida. Had offers from Miami, Illinois, and Iowa. Didn't allow someone on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, actually sent me a video this morning talking about some of the recruits from the Palm Beach area. And in that video, it said that Ricky Knight did not allow a single touchdown in 2023. And that's also considering he faced Jeremiah Smith, the number one recruit in the country. So that right there tells you what you need to know. This is a guy that is good length, has good closing speed. And man, when I watched the film, when I watched the huddle tape, he's a ball hawk. It's just, that's how I describe him. He always has his eyes on the quarterback, reads the plays very well. And he, like I said, this might be the steal of this class. I think this is going to be a guy that we're going to look back on in a few years and be like, wow, we really got one there. And I'm excited to see what he can do. So excited about Ricky Knight. And another guy that you got to be excited about is legacy commitment, or signee, should I say now, Camden Fryer. Now, this is the guy, comes in, son of Matt Fryer, 4-star receiver, 6 foot, 180 pounds, 434th nationally, 66th at the position at Live Oak, Florida. But he had offers from Bama, Kentucky, A&M, a lot of Power 5 offers. Junior season, caught 27 passes for 538 yards, 5 touchdowns, also averaged 30 yards per kickoff return, and took one of the houses junior season. So this is a guy, again, that could help you out on special teams as well. Speedy slot receiver, good hands. I'm a big fan of Fryer. And let's face it, guys. I mean, I'm all about some speedy white slot receivers. You know, people want to make jokes about it. But, man, Hunter Renfrow, he killed it at Clemson for a long time. And I don't even think he had any stars when he came in. So, you know, it's about our turn to get one here as well. So, you know, I know it's funny. It's tongue-in-cheek. You say that jokingly. But I think this guy, when you look at him and Destin Hill in the slot, man, going forward, that's going to be some different difference makers right there. And I like these two guys. So now, up next on the defense, Jaden Parrish, linebacker, early enrollee, 6'1", 210, comes in as a three-star, position 680 nationally, 61st at the position out of Delray Beach. But he did have some offers from Auburn, Kentucky, Miami, and some other smaller schools. Now, again, you have to consider some of the competition when you look at, you know, maybe who they were playing with and how some of the stats are calculated in high school. But his junior season, he accounted for 153 tackles. Let me repeat that. 153 tackles, 72 solo, 4 sacks. That is an unreal number. If it is true, if that really is the case, my goodness, what a tackling machine. 4 sacks, like we mentioned as well. Also played offense and scored 8 touchdowns. The only thing was with him, I was only able to find his sophomore huddle. But even then, when you watched him play, he was a thumper, man. He will hit you. He will come up and bust you in the mouth. And he also has a good build, even as a sophomore. Now, again, I know it's not really a high-level linebacker like you saw with Blake Nicholson and all that, but I think Jaden Parrish is one of those guys that you got to ignore the star ranking. And this is a guy that can really develop into the future to be someone who can contribute for you. So, you know, I know people get disappointed sometimes with the linebacker commits and only being 3 stars and this, that, and the other, but I think Jaden Parrish is going to be one that we're going to like in the future. So staying on the defensive side of things here, looking at defensive tackle Danas White, he is the one guy I saw in the class that is not an early enrollee. 3 star, comes out of Concord, North Carolina, 6'4", 330 pounds, 692 nationally, 76 at the position. The thing with White here is he's a big body defensive tackle, eats space, uses size and strength to overpower the offensive lineman. That's what you saw on tape. I mean, he just really kind of bull rushed guys, blew up double teams based on just his size and strength. He lined up at nose tackle. He lined up at defensive tackle. He lined up at defensive end. Not a fast guy, but you wouldn't expect him to be at 6'4", 330. I'm thinking somewhere here where you're looking kind of like a Robert Cooper-esque guy, kind of that space eater, just a real powerful package guy. Technique could use some development, probably could drop about 20 pounds or so to help with his explosiveness. But overall, I mean, here's the thing. The defensive tackle recruiting, we talked about this. It's got to get better if you want to have these elite level guys. Now, can you develop him into something? I think so. And that's what Odell's track record is. At the end of the day, I think it's a pretty decent take. I mean, 6'4", 330 pounds, you've got the size to work with. And again, like I said, his tape, he knows how to use that size well, but you're going to have some development here. And not everybody's going to be, you know, the 5-star defensive tackle. Not everybody's going to be the 4-star guy, the LJ McCray and things like that. You're going to have to take a couple of Malcolm Race. You're going to have to take a couple of Robert Coopers. You're just going to have to take a couple of those depth guys. And that may be who Danas White is in the long term. But, you know, again, I think with Odell, he's earned the right for us to trust his evaluation skills. Obviously you would like to start with a 4- or 5-star guy, but you know, it is what it is. And so I still am excited to see what he can turn into. So next up for us is Ty Hilton, offensive line, 3-star, 6'4", 270, 695th nationally, and 49th as the interior offensive line out of the Orlando area. But I'm going to tell you what, guys, I've talked about who I thought might have been the steal, who I thought might have been maybe one of the underrated guys. This might be one of the underrated guys in this class. This might be one of my favorite guys in this class when you just talk about maybe a sneaky find here. And so literally my first note when I talk about him is Pancake Factory. Like, if you want to know where he is on the field, just look for the guy on his back, and he's probably standing over top of him. He blocks to the echo of the whistle. Played offensive tackle in one of Florida's highest classifications. Could add some mass at only 285, but he moves very well, is able to get out in space, like blocking on screens and blocking to the outside. But man, he's got a mean streak, and you can't teach that. And that's what I like the most about Ty Hilton when you watch him. I mean, again, he puts guys on their backs. And so, again, you can't teach that. So I like that aspect right there from him as well. You know, again, but keep in mind with offensive linemen, really linemen in general, a lot of these guys have to come in and get a year or two of development anyway. especially when you talk about the linemen on the offensive side, particularly. You don't always have the greatest of coaching. They usually either need to gain 20 pounds or lose 20 pounds, either way. So this is a guy that's going to come in, probably not contribute right away. May end up just being a talented depth guy. But, man, I don't know. I like Ty Hilton. When you watch the mean streak that he plays with, to me, that's, you know, that's worth its weight right there. I mean, and he has good size too. So let's stay in the trenches, but flip over to the defensive side. Jamori Flagg, defensive lineman, 3-star, 6'3", 300 pounds, 888 nationally, 102 at the position out of Miami, Florida. As a junior, had 38 tackles, 16 tackles for loss, 6 sacks in 10 games. Not the most dominant guy, but does move well for his size. Again, at 6'3", 300 pounds. You know, again, guys, I know his picture is in 99, but this feels a little bit like a Malcolm Ray type of guy. You know, a guy who can be a quality depth guy for you, probably not ever going to be, you know, that dominant type of starter. But again, you know, let's trust Odell here, and let him work with him and trust his evaluations, development skills. But again, I think this is a guy that's going to just kind of be more of that talented, rotational depth guy. Let me not just say he's like super talented, but I'm still excited to see what he has. I mean, 6'3", 300 pounds, and again, he moves well for his size, but I think this is another one that, again, you got to bring in some depth at some point, and this may be what you're looking at there. But again, this is a guy that we'll let Odell work with and see what he can turn into. Next up, staying on the defensive side, Tamir Hickman Collins, linebacker out of Fort Mill, South Carolina, 3-star, 6'1", 218, 77th at the position, 894th nationally. Didn't have a lot of offers. We'll be honest, probably more of a depth guy here, but he has good size at 6'1", 218, and he will hit. He is a bit of a thumper. That stood out on tape when I watched. He did play in coverage a lot, and he's not the fastest. If you're talking about maybe just trying to having to cover a college-level DB, but, you know, I mean, again, guys, you got to have some depth at some places. You're going to Not everybody's going to be able to stack a lot of talented guys at every position. And we've seen some deficiencies at the linebacker position. So, you know, this is a guy that maybe they can to develop into something, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, you got to fill your class out with somebody. So, you know, I don't want to talk bad about anybody because, again, you're talking about evaluating guys off high school tape when they could come in. And like we said, Jared Verse was I think 0-1 star guy. And so he turned into a first round NFL draft pick. So, trust the staff's evaluation, and, you know, I'm just going to talk positive about these guys because they're Seminoles now, and we should be. We shouldn't be downing anyone who commits to want to come play this class or play for this university, because you look at the guys who bounced. You know, I want guys that want to be here, and I know that sounds old-fashioned. I know it's like, okay, pony up the bag and get the top guys, but I do think culture and fit, we know that's big for the staff, and we saw what it did for this program, and so I think you just got to be excited about everybody you got. Again, not everybody's going to be that top line starter. Some of these guys are going to be depth pieces, but you got to bring those in too. You got to fill your roster out somehow. But again, we'll see where they go with development on him. So the next up, we're going to talk about Jaden Todd, offensive line, 3-star, 6'6", 315, 87th at the position, at offensive tackle out of Dublin, Georgia. The thing about Jaden Todd is you may have found a diamond in the rough here because he's still new to the game of football, did not play as a freshman or a sophomore. But here's the thing that stands out for him. One, that size, 6'6", 315 pounds. Again, you cannot coach that. This is also a smart kid. He had multiple Ivy League offers. So you get a big body, you get a smart mind, and you got a kid that could use some physical development here, a little bit of technique work. But with a few years with Alex Atkins and a few years with that strength and conditioning staff, Coach Storms, I think this is a guy that's kind of like the auto kid from last year. You felt like he was better than the star rating. So I think Jaden Todd could be someone to watch in the future as well, with some development there. Now, again, you have a lot of top-end guys from the past recruiting classes on the offensive line. Again, when you talk about the Armellas and you talk about, you know, just a lot of the other guys that came in that big 2021 class, Lucas Simmons that came in 2022. These are, again, the guys that you're really building around, but these are the guys that are going to provide that, you know, sixth, seventh, and eighth guy in the future. So I think that I'm excited about the offensive lineman that you did bring in this class. I think you got a couple of good ones, and I think you got a couple underrated ones. So that's where I feel on those. And to round the class out, last but certainly not least, Jake Weinberg, kicker. Now, I know it says three-star, but don't let the three-star fool you. Kickers, I don't know if they rank kickers above three stars. It just, it is what it is. But he is the number one rated kicker by Cole's Kicking Camps, which is probably a better way to evaluate what a kicker can do than through, you know, recruiting rankings or things like that. So, man, I just think with this guy, I think that it's important. We saw how much a bad kicker hurt, and we saw how much that bad kicker turning, fixing, you know, his operation or whatnot. You know, look at Aguayo's, how when they came in. It's just a good kicker. It's that safety net, man. I mean, you're not ever really going to get overly excited about a kicker until you've had a bad kicker. And that was last year for us. Now, Fitzgerald got things straightened out. Keltner hit the portal. So, obviously, because you were making room for Weinberg here. But this is a kid I think you have to be excited about just because you just want that safety net that you can rely on. And so, I think that's what you're getting from him as well. Now, the last one we'll talk about here, obviously, is not part of the high school class, but you did land Marvin Jones Jr. We have not talked about that since our last video. Former five-star, rated as a four-star transfer, comes in from Georgia, 6'5", 250 pounds, 2 years of strength and conditioning development at one of the top programs in the country. Has multiple years of eligibility left. You know, hopefully comes in and balls out and goes to the NFL like a Jermaine Johnson did. But, you know, you could get him at least for 2 years here, which would be nice. He did play 303 snaps in 2 years at UGA. So, again, man, this is when you talk about losing Armando Blunt, but replacing him with Marvin Jones Jr., another former five-star, four-star rated recruit who's already been developed. There's really no question marks there about kind of what you're getting. Now, there's been some conversations back and forth about how productive he will be. You know, is that five-star ranking fitting? But, again, this is a guy who had a little bit of injury there at Georgia, was kind of played out of position a little bit, more of an outside linebacker position as well. I think with you get him in here and you get some development, you could have that Jermaine Johnson type of season out of him coming up next year. And obviously with Verse declaring for the NFL, Pat Payton comes back. You're going to need someone to fill in that spot, versus spot. Now, of course, you have Gilbert Edmond and you have Byron Turner Jr., but you probably feel a lot better now that you have Marvin Jones Jr. in the mix as well. So with that being said, guys, that rounds out the 24 class. And again, I'm just really excited about all the guys we got. I think you got some really good names that you can be excited about in here. I know people, again, like to focus on who's not here, but when you look at it as a whole, this is really a class that is get you some talented pieces at some positions of need. When you talk about a great secondary class, you got a lot of good receivers in this class. You've got two good running backs in this class. You got your quarterback of the future. So really, you just would have liked to seen a little bit more on that defensive line side of things. But you know, you can go to the portal and we'll see what they do there. Obviously, you got a good blue chip ratio. You got all kinds, you know, the good ratings. You got quality over quantity. And I think that was really important. Now, talking about things going forward, where Florida State might look in the portal, because, you know, it is portal time now. Things are going to probably start heating up a little bit because you're going to get a little bit more press to start signing people. You know who you got in high school. So now you know a little bit more about what you need. Now, I will say the first one, the top target that I think you're probably going to be looking at here, I don't know if there's any mutual interest yet. The way Florida State operates in the portal, I'm sure there is. And that's Texas A&M transfer wide receiver. I believe it's Evan Stewart. Now, you may have to pay for this one, but it would be a huge addition. This would be like bringing in another Keon Coleman. And the reason I think I like that is because you bring in a proven veteran guy to go along with a lot of the young guys that you already have on this roster. We talk about Hakeem Williams, you know, and Vandrevious Jacobs, and even Portier, and Deuce Spann. You have all those guys, but you don't really have that experienced wide receiver one right now. And so I think, really, if you can just go out and get one top-level Power 5 starter at the receiver position, I think you feel good about where you're at there. We're still waiting to hear about a quarterback. We know DJ visited. We know Cam Ward visited. Still haven't heard any news on that, on who they might pick up or who they won't. It kind of leans towards DJU, I think, but I think there's interest on both sides there as well. So waiting to see how that develops. I still think you do need to take a quarterback out of the portal. When you look at the offensive line, you know, you're going to have to replace a few guys here. I would be very, knowing that it was kind of your weakness here, I would be very comfortable with them taking two at least starter level guys. I would really like to see them maybe land at least an impact guy there as well. You have some guys that you like. You have some guys that are going to come back and can obviously contribute when they're healthy, unlike they were last year. But I think if you can get a couple of top-level offensive linemen, and I don't even mean top-level, like you know, whatever, like a 5-star. We won't bring up his name from the past or anything like that. But I think if you can just get two functional starters, like two Dillon Gibbons, if you can get two Dillon Gibbons, maybe one that can play tackle, I think you're going to feel really good about next year as well. Now, I think you're good at running back. I don't think you really need to worry about that position unless a dominant guy just happens to fall in your lap. I think at that point, you can kick the tires on that. But I like that you have Toa Fili. I like Keziah Holmes. I thought he was electric when we did see him get touches, and I thought he should have got more touches this year. So I think you're good at the running back position. And then I also think with Sam Singleton, I mean, when he got in, that guy's got a burst. And then you bring in two talented freshmen. I think you're probably good at running back. I don't think you need to take a depth guy. I'd rather go with one of your talented young backs. But like I said, if you can get a home run hitter, a proven guy that just happens to fall in your lap, I think you at least kick the tires on that. And I feel the same with tight end. I think when you realize that Jaheim Bell's gone, and you know, I'm not going to make too much of a walk on tight end hitting the portal, but you also had Marquise and Douglas hit the portal as well. So your depth is getting a little thin there. Now you had a lot of guys young that just haven't really contributed throughout their careers. So I think when you look at Morlock, and I think when you look at bringing in Landon Thomas, I think you're probably okay at that position. Again, I think if you could find a guy to come in and be an impact player type of guy, I think you could kick the tires on it, but I think it's lower down the list of needs. Now, talking about the defensive line, I think you really are going to have to go hard in the portal for defensive linemen. Now, obviously, you already landed a former five-star edge player in Marvin Jones Jr., but this is just that position, guys, where you know you're covering up your high school deficiencies in recruiting with portal players. And it sounds like right now that Josh Palmer might stay. We know there's been a lot of flirtation with the portal. From last report that I heard, he wanted to pause his entry into the portal. I think they're going to end up working something out. You know, Daryl Jackson, all signs look like he's going to come back now. That I thought maybe he'd play in the bowl and bounce to the NFL. But if he does come back and you have Farmer, and you have Jackson, I think you have two guys that you feel good about at the top level. Could you use another Braden Fist type of guy? Of course, I think you could. You can never have enough dominant defensive tackles. But you also lost Tafasi, you lost Malcolm Ray, you lost Fabo, and you're going to lose Fisk. So you're going to need to build some talented depth. Now, of course, you have some guys from the previous classes that should be about ready to step up. We talk about KJ Sampson and some of those guys, but I still think you're going to need to take multiple defensive linemen in the transfer portal. I think you're going to need at least a couple of defensive tackles here and probably at least maybe another defensive end if you can get a good one. You know, I think you feel good about some of the guys you got, but it's just you don't want to run thin depth again because you saw what happened in 2022 when Fabo went down and you didn't have that D-tackle depth to rely on. The middle of your defense struggled, and so you're going to have to get some guys there. And that also leads me to my next point, because you don't want to leave the middle of your defense vulnerable. Guys, because I don't know who's even going to be playing linebacker next year. I mean, obviously you got Blake Nicholson, you got Omar Graham Jr., two guys that you feel pretty good about, especially when you talk about Nicholson. This is a guy that just doesn't have a lot of experience, but when he did get on the field, he flashed. Omar Graham Jr. is a guy who can certainly be a contributor for you. You know, you didn't bring in a whole lot from your recruiting class that you feel like you can expect to contribute right away. DJ Lundy hits the portal. You know, was he the most high-end guy? Not really, but he was projected to pretty much be your starter next year. So I think you're going to have to go to the portal for a linebacker. And in my personal opinion, I think you're going to look for a veteran guy here who can kind of be that plug-and-play starter to go along with the younger guys that you have in Blake Nicholson, Omar Graham. So I think if you can find one, great. If you can maybe even take two, I would not be mad at that at all. Because I think when you look back at 2023, we've talked about this before at kind of ad nauseum here. In a 4-2-5 defense, if you had to pick a weakness, it's obviously going to be linebacker because there's only two of them on the field. It's the least kind of used position. But at the same time, you saw what really solid linebacker play did for you with Bethune and DeLoach. And so I think if you can find some difference makers, you want to go after them as well. And then lastly, you have the DB position. Guys, I'm good. I don't think we need anything there. I think you can... You know, when you look at safety, I think Conrad Hussey's a young guy. I'm fine with rolling with him. You know, at some point, you're going to have to let these young guys play. And again, like we talked about on the last episode, you get Georgia Tech to start with. You feel like if you land a couple pieces in the portal, you feel good about that game. My projection, and I could be wrong about this, when you're coming off the back of that game all the way in Ireland, you get a bye week. when you look at the opponents on the schedule, you're probably going to be talking about maybe Memphis coming in next. So you have probably about 2 to 3 weeks, 2 games to start the season next year where you can get the young guys some snaps. Conrad Hussey's flashed. I mean, when he got in as a freshman, this is a guy that's going to has a really bright future at safety. So I think you're good there. Kevin Knowles, he's back again. Hopefully, I don't know. We're going to leave that one alone. So you got, but you know, and Shaheem Brown's a guy that's coming back as well. That's a guy who had a solid year this year, could really be, you know, a high level guy for you next year. So I think that combination there is good. You also have the young guys that you signed last year, the really talented guys, Jabril Rawls and some guys like that, that you feel good for depth there. You just don't have a lot of experience at the position. And I think when you look at next year, it's really going to be what can you get from the portal and where are you going to be fine with just going with the youth movement? I mean, at some point, Florida State's going to be young in a few positions. It is what it is. You know, you're going to be young probably at wide receiver. Your depth is going to be young at running back. Your safety or your depth at the in the secondaries is going to be young. Now, Fentrell Cypress looks like he's going to come back. You got Jerrion Jones, who's he's already declared he's going to the NFL. Renardo Green, you're going to have to replace him as well. I believe he's out of eligibility. So you got some guys to replace, but at the end of the day, you have a lot of young talent in this DB room, as R.A. Thomas and all these guys that I think you can rely on in these situations. I think it's their time to step up and be in the spotlight and starting for this defense. So you're going to be young in a few positions. But we'll see how things play out in the portal because, again, things should start to heat up now. You're going to see teams start – some players start to drop in after their bowl games. You know, again, you got the – we don't even hate to talk about it, the playoffs coming up. You'll see some guys off of those teams start to hit the portal. It's been slow so far. Florida State hasn't landed a whole lot. But, you know, again, I think with this year, I think they're being a little more choosy in who they take. And before people bash the battles in, I think let's not get too excited yet at who they're taking. I mean – there could be some bigger names come in. They could drop some bigger figures to get some of these names that do come in. So let's wait and let them work. Obviously, a lot of these guys came late in the last few cycles. Jamie Robinson, I just looked it up. I think he came in January. Dylan Gibbons was a late addition in the portal. So a lot of these guys might come later on down the road. So let's not cancel our battles in membership and sell all our stock on Mike Norvell after, you know, going 13-0 and landing the number 9 class. Guys, it's still the top 10 class. It's still... you know, and I guess in the 247 composite anyway, it's still the best class you've signed since 2017. It still has the highest rated quarterback since Jameis Winston. It's still one of the best DB classes that you have. You have multiple players that are top 20 at their positions. You have multiple top 200 guys. This is a really good class to really elevate that talent floor and build the foundation from. Now they just need to go out to the portal and get some accents for next year to kind of help cover for that young talent to develop. But you're going to get some of these guys on the field. They're going to contribute early. But overall, I feel good about this class. I mean, again, some people are going to sit there and cry about, you know, spilled milk and who ended up somewhere else and this, that, and the other. But I choose personally here at Plant the Spear, and I'm sure Michael would feel the same way if he were on this episode. You got to focus on the guys that you have in your class. There's no use in looking outside at the guys that aren't here anymore because you have some really talented pieces and you have so many reasons to be excited about this class. So I don't know, guys. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the future. I still think we're in a good position. Florida State's going to get back to work. You know, they got the Orange Bowl coming up and the portal season is wide open until January 2nd. So still a few more weeks there to land some guys. And then, of course, you have the spring portal session in April as well. So, with that being said, guys, that is Tribe 24. Lots of good pieces, lots of talent. Obviously, we still got some portal moves to go. But overall, man, I'm excited. I think they're going to be just fine with the talent that they got. So thank you for tuning in as we go through this class. Make sure you check out Alumni Hall FSU, our sponsor. If you stuck around this long, like, subscribe, and share to help us grow. We greatly appreciate that. Join us on social media. Let us know what you think of this class in the comments. Let me know if you're really excited and who you think maybe was stealing the class, who you think was maybe one of the underrated guys, who you're really excited to see in Garnet Gold. Let me know. Drop it in the comments. I'm interested to hear you guys' thoughts. But overall, I'm excited about this whole class. So again, guys, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your support. And as always, go Knowles.